Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Thursday edition of Pro Football Talk Live, Peacock, SiriusXM 211, Sky Sports eventually. I think it's Sky Sports Mix in the offseason, Sky Sports NFL in the regular season podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, NBCSN Re-Air, Chris Sims. It's Thursday for the rest of the world.
Yes.
It's Friday.
Woo, woo, woo.
Christopher.
Here we go, baby. That's right. It's weekend time, but I don't have any fun on Thursday nights, you know, so I really
don't.
I don't. I've stopped. I've told you I'm back on schedule, Mike. I took that hiatus. I'm back where weekends only, and I'm only doing Friday and Saturday night where I smoke my daddy cigar and have a drink. Thursday night's not fun. I'm by myself. The kids got school the next day. The wife can't really hang out that way. So I'm a good boy
tonight. So your kids are with you on Friday and Saturday night when you're smoking your daddy cigar, as you call it?
They're aware of what dad's doing. You know me. I keep it real. And, yes, they're sometimes out. You know, they're in the house. They're not outside with me while I'm smoking the cigar, but they're in the house and aware of what I'm doing. So, yes.
Under your definition of daddy cigar, what is a kid's cigar?
A kid's cigar is a regular cigar, I guess.
Son, come on out here. I got a Cuban for you.
Yeah, right, right. It all started back when, like, my kids were really young, and they were wondering what I was doing, and I would go, oh, daddy's going to go out and smoke his cigar. And that's why I call it a daddy cigar and do all that, right.
All right. Yeah. Now I understand it.
Good. Thank you.
You left an opening there for someone who is focused on the literal meaning of words for your son Philip to be puffing along, you know, the finest Monte Cristo that Sims money can buy when he's not purchasing a Rolls Royce. All right, pivoting to something that is hovering over the National Football League. The cloud is growing, especially for the person at the center of it, but there are two people at the center of it. On one hand, you have Deshaun Watson, the Texans quarterback, who is the target now of at least two lawsuits alleging assault during massages. And the lawyer, the other person at the center of this, Chris, Tony Busby, a notorious, famous, flamboyant lawyer in Houston, who claims that there are four more that are going to be filed, four more individuals. The first two have operated under the Jane Doe pseudonym. That's not an uncommon tactic for people who are trying to maintain privacy and discretion when they pursue claims like this. But Busby, who's been active on social media the past few days, yesterday afternoon mentioned that the second claim was going to be filed. And then last night, there was another post which disclosed that there would be six in all. I assume, but I don't know, I assume based on the first two that these claims are all basically the same allegation. During a massage, there was something that made the masseuse uncomfortable, some degree of contact, although it's not like going to the dentist. I mean, when you're getting a massage, it's all premised on contact, some degree of contact that made the masseuse uncomfortable that resulted in a lawsuit. And the lawsuits, the two of them, and there's a lot of similarity, a lot of copy and paste between the two lawsuits.
Right.
On one hand, it's not about the money, but then at the bottom line, it's about the money. So I don't know what it's about. I don't know what the motivation is. If Deshaun Watson did the things he's alleged to have done, you know, you're going to have different people who react to this and say, I don't know what he did if he's guilty of what he's alleged to have done, because it's not the traditional sexual assault. It's a massage. At some point, the masseuse became uncomfortable and didn't disengage the instant the discomfort should have arisen.
Right.
Continued. And then there was contact of some sort, not the normal type, and then disengagement. So that's the pattern so far. That's two.
Yeah.
There's four more.
Right.
We'll see what the next four look like. But that's kind of where we are. And look, is this significant? Well, yes, because at a time when the Texans seem to have accepted the fact they have to trade the guy, how, if you're another team, can you trade for a player who has not one, but two, and supposedly four more of these clouds that would need to be explored before you could feel comfortable making a trade?
Agreed. I mean, I there's no way a trade's happening anytime soon. I just can't. I can't imagine. How can you do that in this time, in this day and age, 2021, the current environment we have in our country and all the issues? Like, I just can't imagine a team is going to be looking to trade for Deshaun Watson anytime soon until there's more answers and things like that, more facts of the situation that come to light. But, you know, nonetheless, it doesn't look good for Deshaun Watson. I mean, and again, I'm not trying to say he's guilty right now, and I know he'll have his day here in court and all that type of stuff, but it's not a good look. And, you know, once you start to see more than one person, that always kind of scares me a little bit. That does. And it's a shame to see, because I just never imagined that Deshaun Watson would, you know, put himself in some of these situations. I guess that's where I'm a little shocked. Like an Instagram masseuse, and you're going to, you know, play those type of games. And again, I'm not trying to say he's guilty. We'll see where it goes, but it certainly doesn't look good. And here's the other thing, Mike. Can I just say this real quick? Like, with Tony Busby, you know, he's a good lawyer, and I'm all for him defending these women and doing what he's got to do. But, like, get out of here with, like, teaching me about the integrity part. Like, shut up, Tony Busby. Can we at him right now while we're doing the show? Because, like, seriously, I mean, he's the biggest Trump supporter in Houston, and he didn't seem to have any issue with, what, double-digit people coming forward, women, about Trump. So that's the only thing I'm going to say there. But that bothers me, that this hypocrisy that's going on in our society right now. Oh, now he's going to stand on a table and tell us that he can't believe how irrational people are. Yet, like, he swiped it under the rug with the great Trump, you know, God King. Oh, okay. So shut up with that, Tony Busby, and we'll see where this goes with Deshaun Watson, because, yeah, it's troubling. It bothers me. I'm a big fan of him. I was a big fan of him as a person, and right now that's kind of in shambles.
There's a vibe coming from the Watson camp that I've detected, and it goes a little like this. Obviously, he denies doing anything improper and will deny it, and is determined to spend whatever he has to spend to clear his name. That was the gist of his original social media post that made me first aware of the problem on Tuesday night before I saw anything about the Tony Busby side of it. But when you read these materials, when you look at that and you say, if we accept all of this as 100% true, what really is this? I think there's enough there to proceed. You know, the first line of defense in a civil action, if you choose to take it, is to file a motion to dismiss for failure to state a claim. And I don't want to get into any continuing legal education here for folks, but the bottom line is, What you do is you go into court and you say, if everything they're claiming is 100% factual, there's nothing that the legal system can or will do about it. Now, I think, based on my reading of the two complaints and my 19 years experience practicing law, I'm not doing that. Oh, I practiced law for 19. I'm just saying it's. I'm not just speaking out of an orifice here. I've seen these. I've evaluated these from both sides. There's enough there to go forward, but the question is, what's there at the end of the day?
Right.
What's the end game here? Is it money? Is it something else? Is it Tony Busby's just, I don't know.
Let me ask you this. How did he get all the women
Here's what happened.
Right.
The first social media post that Tony Busby put on Instagram a couple of days ago, it actively solicits anybody else out there. Here's where you contact me. And it's been a long time since I practiced law, and I'm happy to have gotten over the wall and escaped. And trust me, plenty of people who practice law would love to find a way out. It is a stressful life. You're in the middle of fights. If you're a litigator, you're in the middle of fights like this all the time. It gets personal. It gets ugly. It gets nasty. It wears on you. But I can't remember, or I've forgotten, or which is the same thing, or I never really fully understood what the rules were for solicitation, because that was never my style. In my mind, there's a wall there, and you need to be careful about how far you go to say, hey, anybody who wants to come out of the woodwork and sign up, we're going after X, whatever person or company it may be. But he did that. He did that on Tuesday, and it may be entirely appropriate. But that's how you end up, potentially, with six. Now, the question is, what's the quality of each case? What's the quality of the evidence? Is there other stuff that Tony Busby doesn't know about? Because these things seem a little bit rushed. And one of the points he addressed in social media yesterday was, I've fully vetted all of these folks. But, each one of these has to be assessed on its own merits. The problem is, with the exception of the person you mentioned earlier, where there were more than 20 that stacked up and nobody seemed to care.
Nobody cared. I mean, and he's holding the fundraisers for the guy, the biggest fundraiser in Houston. That's where that bothers me. And I'm not letting Deshaun Watson get a free pass for that at all. I'm mad at Deshaun Watson, and it doesn't look good. But I don't want to hear that crap. Don't preach to me when you got your own issues there, buddy.
For the average normal person, as these things start to stack up, there is a critical mass where you just say, something's not right here. And I think that's the fair conclusion. Right now, preliminarily, still early in the process, something's not right here. Something doesn't add up here. And I don't know how much of the litigation going forward will expose whatever the motivation. Hopefully the truth comes out one way or the other. And the other message in all of this to professional athletes out there, especially the most prominent and wealthy, the ones who are most likely to be targets, if you do believe you have been targeted, you got to watch these situations where you can end up with he said, she said, and no way to prove that you're right.
Right.
If you truly are innocent, you got to be very careful about who you welcome into your hotel suite. The second lawsuit, Chris, filed by a masseuse who was flown from Atlanta to Houston by Deshaun Watson.
Right.
And the massage happened in his hotel suite. You got to be careful who you trust. You got to be careful where you go. You got to be careful what you do, because every one of those interactions, and I'm not saying morally right or wrong or otherwise or whatever you think is going to happen going into it, but any one of those interactions could turn out exactly the way you thought they were going to once you initiated contact on Instagram. And then you find out later that the person you're dealing with has a different interpretation, a different agenda, a different motivation, or is just upset that the person never got another phone call. I mean, that's a risk you're taking. If you never do anything other than the most gentlemanly, consensual behavior, you still run that risk when you're dealing with strangers. And I think, to the extent they still had a rookie symposium and they don't anymore, I think players nowadays need to be aware of that risk that they're taking, assuming they don't do anything wrong. Again, I'm not saying that in this case we got to deal with these, because that's a problem. You're going to find yourself in a spot like this,
no doubt,
where allegations are made, and you have to defend yourself even if you did nothing. That's the risk you're taking.
No,
potentially,
you're right. It is a real risk. It's something you got to watch out for as an NFL football player. Listen, my wife early on in my career in Tampa Bay. You know, there was a player on the team who referred a masseuse to me, right? The masseuse was very attractive, good looking. She comes to the apartment, does that. But my wife stayed, you know, in the apartment and even after, and she made like, you know, I just want to make sure everything goes good. I don't want anything to, you know, she was aware of kind of what you're saying. You know, I can't remember her exact quote or exactly what she said, but that's a real thing as an NFL football player or a star player in general. You got to be careful of the situations you put yourself in. And to me, that's like the first thing you look at with Deshaun Watson. Yeah, I'm disappointed. It doesn't look good. If he's guilty, he's some real jerk. I'll tell you that. And then, but the other thing, I just go, what were you? I mean, you're going to a masseuse's house. You're flying somebody from Atlanta. Like, that's, you're playing with fire there. And that's where, you know, of course, now he's in trouble. And we'll see. And like, trade done. There's no way that's happening. I'd be shocked if it happens this season or this offseason at all now. Because like you said yesterday, it's going to be some time here before some of this gets figured out and flushed out and we start to get a little bit better of a real picture of the reality of the situation. And that might not be till next offseason. So that, to me, ends that conversation for the most part with Deshaun Watson, and I can't imagine anyone trying to trade for him in this current environment right now.
Unless the Texans just slash their expectations because they come to the conclusion that they can't continue the relationship. I don't know that they will. I don't know that they should. They could, though. And that's one thing to put on the radar screen, the possibility the Texans just get to the point where they take less than the 3 first-round picks or whatever the package would be to get their attention because they believe that the relationship moving forward is untenable. I just don't think that if these, and again, we got to see what these other 4 lawsuits say.
Right.
One of the social media posts from Tony Busby said the third one that's going to be filed is the most egregious yet. And I don't know how much of this is carnival barkering by Tony Busby. I'd rather let the documents speak for themselves. And I'm analyzing every one of these that come through. We'll see. But if these are all cookie cutter, same 6, same set of facts, because a massage is an inherently intimate act. This is not going to the dentist and having something like this happen. That's what makes it different. Again, I'm not saying that Deshaun Watson has a license to engage in inappropriate conduct.
I know.
It just goes back to your point.
Right.
Man, given what a massage is, there are places where you can go where you don't get yourself into what my dad would have called a jackpot. And I never did understand why a jackpot was a bad thing. I thought you tried to win a jackpot. But anyway, you don't get yourself into this situation.
Right.
An inherently intimate act at the house of someone you don't know.
Right.
With no witnesses. And it's all going to come down at the end of the day to what you say and what she says. That is a recipe for exactly what Deshaun Watson is dealing with now.
No, right or wrong, whatever
he did or didn't do, it is a recipe for what he's dealing with now.
No, that's where the stupidity started. You're right. That was the jump off point to we'll see whether he did or didn't do the rest here going forward. I mean, again, like I said, I'm disappointed. But into that, Mike, too, just a little bit. You know, and I know there's, you know, the talk of the massage and the groin area, like that, you know, the intimacy of it for a football player. And I'm not trying to be some pervert here or anything like that. For a football player where your life is squatting and getting down and sprint, there's not a place through my career where I was more sore on a regular basis than my upper thighs, my groin, my butt. In fact, when I had masseuses, where I was like, oh, can you get my glutes a little bit? Because, you know, I've squatted or got hit with helmets there and all that. You know, every now and then I had a woman say, I'm not comfortable with that. Okay, that's cool. But that was the last time I was going to see her because my glutes were important. I needed them rubbed on. I needed somebody that was going to be able to, you know, break that barrier down and go into those areas. And I wasn't going to get weird with them or anything like that. But that's where you're legitimately sore, too. And for an athlete, there is that aspect. And again, I don't know where Deshaun Watson went with it after that. But that is a real aspect of what you're trying to get done to rehab, fix yourself as a football player or an athlete.
all the more reason to have work like that done in facilities
where
everyone's licensed and everyone knows how it works and there are procedures and
no
protocols.
Doubt.
And you're not going to someone's house with no witnesses or flying someone from Atlanta to a hotel in Houston with no witnesses, where at the end of the day, you are in a situation potentially where your version is here, her version is here, and you have to spend a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of worry trying to vindicate your version of what happened. And it gets more and more difficult as it goes from 1 to 2 to 3 to 6. That's the problem that Deshaun Watson faces. So Chris, this all is happening.
Yeah.
As our friend John McClain of the Houston Chronicle,
right,
the dean of the sports scene in Houston, who on January 7th said, I've got a better chance of being the next coach of the Texans than Deshaun Watson has of being traded, because that's the message he was getting from the team.
Right.
Yesterday he tweets, I now believe Deshaun Watson will be traded. And we've talked about these practical impediments, but that's the great, I don't know if irony is the right word here, because I never know if irony is the right word. Thank you, Alanis Morissette. But that's the great potential irony here. As the Texans come to the conclusion that they are willing to trade him, these external events are emerging that may make it impossible to trade him.
Right. I agreed. I mean, first off, you know, like you said, when John McClain, it's like Tom Curran up in Boston. It's when John McClain talks, you know, in Houston, and he's talking, you listen. He's been there forever. He's the man. I've known him since my days playing at Texas. I mean, he is the man. You're right. He's the godfather, maybe sports writer in the whole state of Texas, as far as that's concerned. You know, but I, you know, again, I don't know. Maybe at that time when he put that out, he wasn't quite aware of maybe the situation as a whole, right, Mike? I mean, that's all I could say there. But again, I can't imagine that anything goes down. I really can't. You know, that's a dicey situation for any football team to bring him in with all this hanging in the balance, and then you're going to have to deal with the backlash from, you know, people, fan base, everything like that. Why did you trade for this guy? All football players, oh, we're all swiping it under the rug because he's a football player or a star. They're allowed to do anything. And that's a conversation that I don't think any coaching staff or organization wants around their team.
Also, before we heard of the additional lawsuits to be filed, when it was just one, Joe Person of The Athletic said that the Panthers are locked in on trading for Deshaun Watson. And actually, I think Person reported that before there was even one assault lawsuit that had been filed. But, you know, the Panthers obviously,
I get
confirms
it.
It was before there was any of this. The Panthers are desperate for a franchise quarterback.
Right.
We don't know whether or not Deshaun Watson would take a trade to the Carolina Panthers, because unlike Russell Wilson, we haven't gotten a public list of the teams he'd play for. But that is, at this point, secondary to the issues that flow from. And, you know, you may have people out there who would reasonably say, well, what's this have to do with his employment? And you know what? For most employers and employees in the country, it has nothing to do with it. Because as long as you haven't been criminally charged and you can show up for work every day, you show up. But the NFL implemented a personal conduct policy. And in 2014, in the aftermath of the Ray Rice case, the NFL created an in-house justice system that it will activate parallel to, if it chooses, the civil or criminal justice system. And the NFL officially had no comment yesterday. They were aware of the lawsuit. Well, they're going to be aware of six of them soon. What do you do? At what point do you investigate? At what point do you bring Deshaun Watson in? At what point do you try to identify the individual alleged victims? It's very easy to track down Tony Busby. He puts his email on social media. Hey, Mr. Busby, we're from the National Football League, and we have an obligation to investigate these situations. We would like to have an opportunity to interview your clients.
Yeah.
They either will cooperate or they won't. And, Chris, this is the last thing I'm going to say about this before we move on.
Yeah.
And this is my advice to Deshaun Watson. Assuming that he's never done anything inappropriate during these massages and that he would ultimately prevail, or regardless of whether or not a judge or a jury believes him, because trust me, there are plenty of legal proceedings where you're right, but the system says otherwise.
Sure.
If Deshaun Watson did not do anything wrong, my advice to him would be very simple. Just whatever it costs, settle these cases. Just make them go away. And I know that's hard for people
that's
to process.
Hard. I know.
If you did nothing wrong.
Right.
But call it a tax on your naivete or stupidity.
Yeah.
Putting yourself in these situations.
Yeah. So that's a good point.
And just make it go away, because you can legitimately include in these settlements an agreement that without a subpoena, there will be no cooperation with anyone, no communication with anyone about any of the details, and the NFL reaches a dead end, and there could never be the NFL coming to a conclusion right. That would be a miscarriage of justice if you truly never did anything wrong. Now, if you did something wrong, it's a different conversation. But if you truly believe that you did nothing wrong and there was nothing inappropriate, even though it's counter to this notion of defend yourself and clear your name, there's value in considering the possibility of resolving these claims and getting a commitment that if the NFL decides they're going to activate the process. We saw what happened to Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
We've seen what's happened to other guys.
Right.
Guys who were never, Ezekiel Elliott was never criminally charged or sued, and he was suspended 6 games by the NFL because there was a motivated victim who spoke to the NFL 6 times. And they ultimately believed her.
Right.
Despite people in the league office
right, saying
who didn't
we don't believe
her.
Right, right.
Right. They still got him.
Yeah.
That's what you want. You want to avoid that potential for that arbitrary roll of the dice that you're a guy that they decide for whatever reason they're going to come get.
That's a tough one. It's really tough as, you know, an athlete because of what that clear your name thing, right? You want to be able to say, like, listen, this is BS. This is not real. I'm going to fight it. I'm not going to let them get away with this. But the reason people do settle, even when they're not guilty at times, right, is because in the court of public opinion, as this goes on, you know, you're guilty. It's just, even if you get found not guilty 2 years from now, everyone's just going to look at it and go, oh, yeah, you mean that quarterback with the massage girls and all that, that guy? Yeah, well, he was not guilty. Oh, I doubt it, blah, 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 blah. That's what happens. So I don't know. We'll see. I know we're not giving Deshaun Watson any free passes here. Certainly not.
Right.
We'll see, but it's a weird situation altogether. He certainly put himself in some stupid situations, and now we just sit back and kind of watch the facts come out and see how this plays out. But please, Tony Busby, spare me your crap and telling me about how to treat women and all that type of crap when your God King is Donald Trump. Shut up. Okay, thank you. Let's talk about football.
I said one last point, but let me add this too. I know there's a concern that if you start reaching these settlements, if you've done nothing wrong, there's going to be another and another and another and another. Well, you know what? Until you get to the point where someone makes an allegation against you and you can truthfully say, I don't even know who this person is. If you've put yourself in these spots, this intimate process of a massage with no witnesses at people's homes, in hotel rooms, people flown from Atlanta, this is what you are.
Yeah.
Risking.
Yeah, no doubt.
You are risking this, that you're going to be falsely accused and there's no way that you're going to be able to conclusively prove that you didn't do anything wrong. All right. Dan Patrick has been at the heart of the Russell Wilson controversy because
right.
It was on Dan's show that Russell spoke in a way we've never heard a quarterback speak about his circumstances before. Dan on his show yesterday said that the Bears, in their effort to finagle a trade of Russell Wilson from the Seahawks to Chicago, offered 3 first-round picks, a 3rd-round pick, and 2 starters. We don't know who 2 starters are. I would say that would be significant. If it's your kicker and punter, it's far less attractive than if it's other players on the team. But, you know, Chris, I look at that package, and my first reaction is, what the hell they think? You got the 20th overall pick this year, and if you have Russell Wilson on your team, it's going to be 20, 25, 28 next year. Yeah, that's not good enough to get Russell Wilson.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's certainly one aspect of it, Mike. I don't know. Here, I don't believe it. First off, I've talked to a few people that I really trust that would, it wasn't a real offer, that it's a save face kind of, you know, statement by the Bears to make it look like they made, you know, exhausted all angles. All right. And I'm not trying to, you know, discredit Dan Patrick. You know, I think he's the man. I mean, to me, that's one of the best there ever is, was, whatever. He's a legend. But no, there's a way
to thread this needle.
Yeah.
They made the offer. It's true they made the offer. You're reacting to it by saying it's a bullcrap offer that they never intended to be accepted.
Well, I don't think the offer was actually ever really made. That's what I'm really saying.
I tried.
I'm sorry. Now, and again,
sorry, Dan, I tried.
I know. I'm sorry. And I'm not trying to butt heads with Dan Patrick, but Yeah, I mean, there's more than, you know, there's two people Chris, I talk to.
Chris, you
I'm
just
sorry.
Dropped the hamburger on the ground and picked it up.
They're not going to want my NCAA tournament bracket anymore. They're going to be like, hey, you know what? Don't send that in. But no, seriously, two people that I trust in the NFL that, you know, have knowledge of the situation, you know, told me that the offer never really happened. There was never that offer presented to the Seattle Seahawks, that this was just a, hey, we're saving face, you know, with the media, our fan base, to make it look like we did everything to get Russell Wilson, and there you go. But your questions about the trade itself, too, you know, are interesting. And, you know, maybe just at the end of the day, too, Seattle, they're in a tough spot with the dead money. All right, let's just say this. You got the first-round picks, the third-round picks, and two starters. Well, first off, who are those two starters, right?
Right.
So
right.
If you're paying a ton of dead money to Russell Wilson, right, they got all that. And let's say it is a Khalil Mack. Now he's got all this huge salary cap. And it's another really good starter. Like, Seattle probably looks at that in some ways and goes, well, we can't really build a team. We can't do anything. You know, we're strapped for money now. We're not going to have any movement in the salary cap to be able to do anything either. That was one thing that, you know, came across my mind. But at the end of the day, yeah, I've been led to believe that was not a real offer, that never actually really happened.
I've been fascinated by who actually leaked it. Because if you're the Bears, you just brought Andy Dalton to town. Why would you leak that you tried to get Russell Wilson? Although, based
that's
on
why.
Reaction.
That's
the reaction
why.
Reaction locally
you
in
just
Chicago.
Said it.
Yeah,
right.
That's
we
why.
Tried to do it. But, you know, they didn't accept it, so we had to go with Andy Dalton.
Folks, here's Andy Dalton. Why Andy Dalton?
Right.
Well, we tried to get Russell Wilson.
We tried to give three first-rounders to them. Right. And that's where, you know, again, the people that I've talked to have told me that offer never happened to Seattle Seahawks.
I also think there's a chance that Russell Wilson's camp wants this out there as a message that it's not over. Because if you're a team that isn't drafting 20th, maybe second or third, or eighth, you have a better chance of putting a package together than the Bears do. I think the Bears ultimately were hamstrung by the fact that they didn't have enough and they weren't willing to throw enough on the pile to get Seattle's attention. And I don't know that there's enough. What do you do? The next three drafts, you give everything. The next three drafts to the Seattle Seahawks to get Russell Wilson. And then the other side of it is, what do you have left to put a team around Russell Wilson? That's the balance that you have to strike. So.
Right.
For now, it seems like they are careening toward what will be an effort to mend fences, avoid dysfunction, despite everything that Russell Wilson said. And it will be intriguing, to say the least, to see how Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, and others deal with it this season, especially if they have struggles offensively, if Russell Wilson's getting sacked a lot of times. It's not an issue that's going to go away. And there's only one guy that can pull off the Bill Belichick approach to turning the page on topics. I don't think Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson can do it, and they're going to be peppered with questions all year long if they spend one more year together they don't come out like they did in 2020 and continue it all year long.
No, you're right. That's going to be a real uncomfortable environment, you know. And it's something that'll seep through the team too. That's not one of those things where you can just go, "Oh, that's between those two." Like, that'll be a lot of gossip in the locker room, and it's really hard for me to believe that at some point Russell and Pete might not, you know, or that they wouldn't butt heads a little bit on a practice field or something there where, you know, oh, Russell just doesn't like the way he talked to him or, you know, what he's saying about the message of the offense, and that becomes personal. This ain't dead. I know that. That's the one thing I'm going to say. I had somebody smart, again, same person that, you know, told me a little bit about the Bears-Seahawks situation too, that, you know, yesterday is a big warning, first off, in two ways. Everybody's still diving into the draft. A lot of teams, you know, have just started or have only got done with one position. They're just getting into this as far as the coaches, the real, real decision makers and all of that. So there's going to be some time here where teams that want a quarterback trade or in the quarterback market, they want to do their due diligence on these kids coming out in the draft. I think that's the first aspect to where, you know, you might not see a Sam Darnold traded or anything like that until teams feel like, okay, we've seen all the pro days, we've checked all the boxes. But then there's this aspect that I thought was really interesting. You know, again, I think the trades are going to happen closer to the draft this year. And Deshaun Watson is prime example number one, because no one's going to want to trade for a guy and then, oh, what? He went to the massage parlor and did what? So they're going to wait to the very end here until, you know, they can do all their due diligence on all sides here. And I don't think that the Russell Wilson trade is done yet. I wouldn't be shocked if that happened draft night or somewhere during that weekend.
I don't disagree with any of that. And I do think that for the teams that have addressed quarterback needs for now and are presumably out of it, there are other teams out there plotting what will happen in the draft. If you don't get the guy you wanted in round one, with Sam Darnold, that's the perfect time to try to trade him. If you're the Jets, if you take Kyle Wilson or another quarterback with the second overall pick, there's going to be potentially two or three teams at the end of round one that are like, crap,
we didn't get what we needed.
Emerge with a quarterback.
Right.
Let's go get Sam Darnold. I'll be interested as well to see. And I thought of this yesterday when I saw the report that the Jaguars have taken calls about Gardner Minshew, who's clearly out and played at Washington State. Will Seattle bring in competition for Russell Wilson? Because in a franchise where everything is premised on compete, 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 what's the one position on the depth chart that never has anyone?
Sure.
All due respect to the various backup quarterbacks who have served behind Russell Wilson, never has anyone that in any way, shape, or form would be a threat to Russell Wilson. What if the Seahawks decide? And you know what? It's a simple proposition. Hey, this is a guy who's jostling to get out of here. We can't just wait till next year.
Yeah.
We need someone here that can learn our system and we can get comfortable with and evaluate him because maybe he's our starter next year. That would introduce a new vibe to the relationship. If there's a I don't know how viable Gardner Minshew is.
Right.
But I you and I both believe that's one of the reasons in 2017 they didn't sign Colin Kaepernick because some of the personalities on the Seahawks at the time would have potentially sided with Kaepernick as the guy who should be playing.
No doubt about that. I mean, I don't. Your thought with Gardner Minshew, I don't think is that crazy. First off, I don't think Seattle. I do think Seattle has the bravado or whatever to go, you know, hey, we run the ball, we play defense, we manage the game. We don't always need a superstar quarterback. I do think there's a thought there with Pete Carroll and John Schneider and Bunch there. There's no doubt about that. You know, would Gardner Minshew, you know, again, he's not to me, a starting quarterback in the NFL. He is a really good backup. He's the perfect backup because he is one of those guys, Mike, that we've talked about so much. He's not going to wow you at practice. You know, he's going to give juice to your team a little bit. He's going to be a good, you know, bandmate with the starting quarterback a little bit there, but also there's just enough talent too to keep the starting quarterback on edge and do all those things too. But I don't know. I would think there is a market for Gardner Minshew, at least for a team that's looking to go, you know, we got a pretty good team here. Let's not risk it and have just some slappy come in off the bench if our quarterback does get hurt. Hey, Gardner Minshew has proven he can play a little football. There's no doubt.
All right, let's take a break. Free agency finally opened yesterday after 2+ days of frenetic activity. Trades became official. One big trade hasn't become official, although it's moving in that direction. We'll break down more of the moves when PFT Live continues right after.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
The new league year officially began yesterday at 4 p.m. Eastern. The Lions have tweeted their farewell to Matthew Stafford, even though the trade that was agreed to months ago hasn't been officially finalized yet. It's Stafford to the Rams, Jared Goff to the Lions. And the problem is, I believe, that they haven't cleared the cap space to take the cap acceleration that they will be suffering when Jared Goff is gone. And they got to get their ducks in a row before they finalize this trade. So it's going to happen, but it's not done until it's done.
No.
And there's no consequence for either team. Not that the Rams all of a sudden are going to say we're good with Jared Goff, because I think they would have an even bigger problem with their cap issues.
Right.
But so it's just a matter of time. And we've known about it for weeks. And the NFL allows it. The NFL allows, not that teams announce it. That's the strange part. It can be reported. The players can talk about it. The teams can't say anything about it until it's done. That's been a strange, awkward formula for the past several weeks, but we've all known that it's going to be Stafford to the Rams, Goff to the Lions. It's just a matter of
Rams,
I
got
believe,
some fat
the Rams
to trim
having
still,
the cap space.
Right? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, there's still at least the numbers I see are $14 million in the hole here. I mean,
I think those numbers factor in the acceleration from moving Goff. I think that's the problem.
Right.
Because right now, everybody's got to be in compliance. We're into the new league
year.
You're
taking that. Yeah,
so any of these numbers showing them in the red, that I think that means that they've assumed that the Goff contract is going, and that's the cap charge you're taking to avoid the guaranteed salary this year, the guaranteed salary next year.
Right. Yeah, no, you're probably right. That's probably what it is. But, yeah, I mean, the Rams – once this gets done, I mean, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of free agency moves from them, certainly. It's going to be all about the draft with the Rams. Rams are very top-heavy. You know, they're a team where they're playing with fire, where you just look at it and go, they have two injuries next year. Their team is in deep trouble. Now, they've been able to, you know, avoid that injury bug for the most part, certainly. But I am excited to see the Rams with Matthew Stafford and what he can bring to that offense. And I think he's going to unleash Sean McVay a little bit to be able to have the confidence to do some things that maybe he hasn't had, you know, with Jared Goff at quarterback, because this is certainly a different talent level and a guy who's, again, got one of the greatest arms in the history of the NFL. And I'm kind of rooting for Matthew Stafford. This is a cool story.
And Chris, you hit the nail on the head about the Rams being top heavy. A few days ago, I looked at their contractual commitments for 2021. There aren't many guys that were even candidates for a restructuring. Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Andrew Whitworth, Michael Brockers. He got traded. They cleared his $8 million off the roster altogether. Rob Havenstein, Tyler Higbee, Johnny Hecker, A'shaun Robinson. That's it. That's the extent of it, of guys that you could go to and say, let's restructure your contract and free up some money. They've done it with some of them. They could also do it with Matthew Stafford once he arrives.
Right.
But, you know, they got to clear off the cap space before they could even. He's just $9 million. No, $19 million. He's got a $10 million roster bonus and a $9 million base salary. I think that roster bonus comes due pretty soon. So probably a good idea to get him off the books in Detroit sooner rather than later. Kyle Van Noy back on the books for the New England Patriots. Cut by the Dolphins. Wasn't happy about it. Lands in New England, just the latest guy that the Patriots are rounding up as they try to improve that roster and get back on the right side of being relevant to what's happening in the NFL.
No, I mean, awesome. I mean, he's their kind of guy, certainly. You know, they just the Dolphins outspend the Patriots last year. They weren't willing to spend $15 million a year on Kyle Van Noy. Now they get him for something they look at more reasonable, but he's the perfect Patriot guy. You know, again, can play defensive end, inside linebacker, outside linebacker. You got Judon, Kyle Van Noy, Dante Hightower coming back off of the COVID opt-out, all of that. You know, it's a different defense already. We know the secondary is top-notch. It's as good as it gets in football. And now you start to look at the front seven on paper, and you start to go, damn, that's a pretty good front seven. I mean, watch out. So great move by the Patriots, and good for Kyle Van Noy getting back with the team that he's familiar with.
This one was a stunner last night. Patrick Peterson signed by the Minnesota Vikings. Top 10 pick back in 2011. The Vikings have had issues at corner ever since, every one of their guys left last year in free agency or was cut. They went with young guys Now they have an older presence. My understanding is the teams that were interested in Patrick Peterson want him strictly to play corner, not slide over to safety. And we don't know what's going to happen with Anthony Harris in Minnesota. He's currently a free agent, but there hasn't been any news about Anthony Harris that I've noticed. But Peterson now becomes the top corner on the depth chart just by virtue of the fact that they're struggling to develop great cornerback play in Minnesota, and we know how important that is to the defense. And I don't know. I don't know what kind of gas Peterson has left in the tank 10 years in, but 1 year, it's been reported. This is one of those that you got to watch.
Right.
1 year, $10 million. I would bet, not quite $10 million, but $10, that it's up to $10 million, not $10
million
when we see the final paperwork. But still, I bet it's about $6 million, and he can make $4 million on top of it if he plays really well. It's a significant investment for a guy that's been around 10 years, Chris, and it shows the Vikings are doing what they can to improve defensively.
No doubt. I mean, you know, again, I don't ever love the PED part of Patrick Peterson's past. You know that. We've discussed that. But, you know, everything else, he doesn't really miss games. He's not hurt a whole lot. And he loves football. There's no denying that. I mean, there's not. And not that he's a superstar lockdown corner anymore. No, he's not that type of football player. But there's still good left in his game, Mike. There definitely is. You know, last year we saw some pass interference issues, things like that. But I think it is a good veteran presence, a dependable guy, smart, knows that. You got a rookie corner that they drafted in the first round last year, right? So, you know, it is a position that's very important to Zimmer's defense. And I think Patrick Peterson does help them out.
Another move that happened on Wednesday, and another 2011 first round pick AJ Green signing with the Cardinals, 1 year deal worth up to $8.5 million. And look, Chris, my first reaction when I saw this, Larry Fitzgerald's not coming back. And I know people are saying, oh, Larry Fitzgerald love to play with JJ Watt and AJ Green. Look at the depth chart: DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, AJ Green. Where does Larry Fitzgerald fit? Is he gonna be a gunner on the punt team?
Yeah.
Where does he fit? Because when you have – now, I guess some teams could get away with having four guys who play receiver and don't play special teams, but financially, where does he fit?
Yeah, that's right.
How can you give him the A.J. Green deal when you're paying DeAndre Hopkins top of the market and you've got these other commitments? I just think that they did the A.J. Green deal, and maybe Larry Fitzgerald did the Cardinals a favor by keeping his mouth shut about what his intentions were, because it allowed the Cardinals to go get A.J. Green and not have to worry about someone else grabbing him.
Yeah, maybe you're right. You're right. You know, there's no doubt they could have played that. A.J. Green is a guy I'm very intrigued with. It was a down year last year. There's no doubt. He never really got the connection going with Joe Burrow or anything like that. I do still think, I mean, again, this is a tall guy with size. But, like, when I watch him on, there's still explosion in his game to where, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he opened eyes again a little bit in this offense where, yeah, he's going to see a lot of single coverage. But, man, you talk about Dan Arnold, the tight end, who emerged last year really damn good. Hopkins, you said it, Christian Kirk in the slot and doing that stuff. And then A.J. Green outside. That's some tough matchups across the board. I think A.J. Green's still got a little something. I bet you he comes back with a little chip on his shoulder this year.
Last year was so bizarre. Now, the year before it, he suffered the ankle injury at the preseason practice in Dayton because it was the league's 100th season, and he didn't play at all in that year. They franchise tagged him in 2020. He had 104 targets, but only 47 catches.
It was
weird. An average yards per target of 5.0, by far the lowest of his career. The Bengals clearly weren't bringing him back. Typically, the Bengals, once they franchise tag you and you play out that year, you don't come back.
Right.
And $8.5 million top end, it shows you that the league right now is curious about where AJ Green is, and he is going to have to reestablish himself, and this is his chance to do it. He's been around a while. He hasn't had a 1,000-yard season since 2017, and he barely hit 1,000 yards that year. He's got some work to do to establish himself again, but it's not like he's going to be double covered. It's not like he's going to be the focal point of the defensive game planning.
No. Nope.
He's going to step into the Larry Fitzgerald role. And, you know, Chris, what's your gut tell you? Is Fitzgerald done, or do we see him maybe exploring the possibility of jumping on a Super Bowl bandwagon? Because he said at one point last year,
I remember
if
that
the Cardinals win the Super Bowl, I'll retire. And everybody was like, well, then you're not retiring. Was that his little sprinkling of the message that maybe next year I'll go join a team that I think can win a Super Bowl.
I don't think so. My gut tells me that, you know, he's sitting back. If he comes back, I think it will still be with the Cardinals for like a really low price to where he just wants to be a part of the team. I don't know. But I really, my gut, and I have no knowledge of the situation, I do think it's done. I do. And I would expect maybe we hear something here sometime in the near future. But the AJ Green things, you know, it's intriguing. And that stat you talked about with the targets, right? That was one thing that when you go back and watch a little bit, you go, well, he was open a little bit more than I gave him credit for watching him last year. You know, Joe Burrow just, it was one of those weird things where they could not connect on go routes and back shoulder type things where you go, hey, AJ Green's open. Joe Burrow, you know, threw it out of bounds or underthrew it a little bit. There was a lot of disconnect there, but it's interesting. And then, hey, listen, I just got to mention the other move with the Cardinals too, them getting Rodney Hudson. Damn, that was good. I mean, you know, we thought the Raiders were going to trade him. I mean, cut him for the Cardinals to get him. That's very important. Rodney Hudson's still
let's
one of the better centers in football.
Let's put a pin in that. We got to take a break. Let's talk more about this Hudson thing, what it means for the Raiders, what it means for the Cardinals when PFT Live continues right after this. As mentioned, the Oakland Raiders doing business, not cutting guys. Gabe Jackson was supposed to be cut. He was traded to Seattle for a fifth-round pick. Rodney Hudson was going to be cut. They got a third-round pick for Rodney Hudson. But still, you see that. Three guys gone. Richie Incognito was cut. He'll be back. He'll be next to Colton Miller. But 60% of the Raiders' offensive line is going to be new, Chris. That is going to be a challenge for a team that seemed to be beginning to move in the right direction.
No, you're right. It is going to be a challenge. They probably look at Colton Miller and go, hey, we're going to have to pay him like one of the higher-paid tackles in football here at some point over the next year or so. That's probably part of the issue. And I think we hit it on it yesterday, Mike. You know, I think they got some guys coming up the rank they like. And they just looked at, man, we got a lot of holes to fill in our football team, and we can't spend it all, you know, spend all our money on the offensive line. But, man, Cardinals getting Rodney Hudson, what an upgrade for their offensive line.
Yeah, and the Cardinals seem to be doing what they have to do to be as relevant as they possibly can be in the NFC West, the best division in football. And when you look at the Seahawks, who haven't done much other than be involved in this Russell Wilson trade speculation, although they did pick up Gabe Jackson, the Rams just trying to keep the salary cap afloat. The 49ers, you know, the Cardinals so far now.
They're there.
I don't know what any of this is going to mean. I like what they're doing.
I do. I hear you.
Will they win more games? West. I don't know. Woo. But I like it. Take a quick break. We'll be right back with more.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.